Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
CBS News Brief. An Ivy League college has agreed to pay more than $200 million in a deal with the Trump administration over allegations of anti-Semitism. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This settlement with Columbia may serve as a template for Harvard and other universities.
All have had federal research funding frozen. Local officials in Russia's far eastern Amur region say crews have found the burning wreckage of a plane that went down near the Chinese border. The BBC's Olga Malachevska.
43 passengers on the plane, including 5 children, and they also say about 6 crew members.
Police released hundreds of documents on the investigation into the murders of 4 University of Idaho students hours after the admitted killer, Brian Koberger, was sentenced to 4 life terms. CBS's Andres Gutierrez from Boise.
As part of his plea deal, Koberger waived the right to appeal, locked away now with his secrets for the rest of his life.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Another potential big-time blockbuster hits the big screen this weekend at your local theaters. Fantastic Four: First Steps is the latest mega movie summer release, and reviews are pretty good. The film, which stars Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, and the Bears' Ebon Moss-Bacharach, is currently pulling an 87% certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're wondering about the plot, well, I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say there's a lot of superhero-type stuff happening. If you're tired of franchise or superhero films and want a good scare, you have two options this weekend. The first has only one review, and it is negative. The second is called Together, and it is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Together stars Dave Franco and Alison Brie, and follows the story of a couple who decide to move to the country, which sounds great in real life, but in the movies, it is never a good idea. If you like the supernatural and the Franco brother that isn't Creepy James, check it out. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The next step for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Lambeau Field. This will be head coach Matt LaFleur's 7th training camp in Green Bay. And although they've been to the playoffs nearly every year, I asked him, as he thought about what else is there left to do to get to the next step, a Super Bowl.
That's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Baseball. Brewers with a 10-2 win over the Mariners. The crew has now won 10 games in a row whenever they've had pitcher Quinn Priester on the mound.
You know, I attribute a lot of his success to the pace. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets it and goes, gets it and goes, gets it and goes. Doesn't give you a lot of time. There's not a lot of trepidation. There seems like there's a lot of conviction. Ball sinking, and then he's got a little cutter, he's got a little curveball, a little slider, and he's attacking.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Scattered thunderstorms are possible today with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
I think we've got another hot, sticky day on the way around Wisconsin, but I don't see the heat indexes quite as strong as they were yesterday. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, we're probably going to see a little rain this morning, probably before 8 a.m. Daytime highs today are expected to be 85 under a mostly cloudy sky, but I don't see the heat indexes like we had yesterday. We will have a wind out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, another chance of rain, overnight lows down to 70. Then for Friday, chance of rain probably in the afternoon, otherwise a partly sunny Friday, 86 the expected high. We'll find out what Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has to say about that in about 15 minutes. Stand by. You know, this weather is not what the doctor ordered when it comes to county fairs or county fair attendance. We've still got a lot of life left in our county fairs before the summer is done. Stephanie Hoff caught up with Jamie Butke, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Fair Association, to find out how the tempo has been with all this severe weather this summer. We'll hear from her. And we're catching up with Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. Dairy has been struggling mightily lately in the marketplace, but why? And can we get it turned around? Those are just a couple of the conversations coming your way.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Thanks to Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, you'll have dairy all around you during the best 11 days of summer. We're talking about the Wisconsin State Fair, July 31st through August 10th, where DFW can be spotted advancing the next generation of dairy men and women. Board member Jody Miller tells us how dairy farmers take care of the youth in their community.
We supply t-shirts to the youth. They get out a very powerful fact. Something we're really proud of is that 99% of dairy farmers in Wisconsin are family owned. It's a great reminder of who's really behind Wisconsin dairy. We are involved in the judging of educational dairy exhibits, and we sponsor youth showmanship awards. And it's a really great way to celebrate the next generation of dairy leaders that are coming. We involve farmers. Farmers are real active in this.
Jody Miller says you can find more details about what Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has on the agenda for the state fair at wisconsindairy.org.
It takes more than a couple hours and some good luck to get a livestock project ready for the fair. Exhibitors are known to spend many long, hardworking days to make sure their animals not only look their best, but are also prepared for the sights and sounds of the fair. I'm Kylie Allen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Along with me today is the Extension Youth Livestock Specialist, Bernie O'Rourke. She's sharing what exhibitors can do to make the transition from their animals' pens at home to those at the fair as smooth as possible.
I mean, I think everything starts at home, quite honestly, right? Spending the time with them and getting them associated to people and noises and all of the sounds that can occur at a fair or an event where animals may or may not be used to them. So I always encourage exhibitors and youth is to, turn the radio up at home. Have that on all the time, have things whipping in the wind in the barn. So they're used to all of that different sounds that they would get at their local county fair or state fair or any event thereof. You know, at home, always in terms of just movement and handling, it's a lot of patience. It's a lot of soft talking. But working with your team, which might be your family members or other friends that you work together and are using really good animal handling skills by, you know, understanding the flight zones of the animal. So I just wanted to start with that because I think that's super important. Making sure the animals are kind of like puppy dogs, right? And that they're ready to go on into the fair season. At home, all those things still apply, right? By loading in a calm environment and making sure that distractions such as shadows, and being able to, you know, kind of cover the spots that they might be able to escape by using gates or hurdles for pigs, those boards that you see people moving pigs around. That's really important to have those as well in strategic positions. And just making sure there's maybe limited help. You know, sometimes less people helping might be more impactful and helpful than a lot of people. And certainly, you know, kids or others that might be yelling or maybe talking really loudly, really trying to kind of minimize that, you know, type of environment. In terms of care, make sure you've got you're hauling animals to the event in cool weather. And so if you can do it early in the morning or later at night, depending on your fair schedule, that would be encouraged. Certainly not during the heat of the day would be preferred. As we talk today, it's like 60 degrees. So it's maybe not even a concern, but on those days where it's certainly heat index, humidity and temperature are high, the heat index is something we want to be mindful of when we're loading animals and trying to get them to locations earlier or at the coolest part of the day.
So you said some things that I think are pretty interesting in there. One that I want to circle back on, you said that sometimes fewer people helping to load is better than more people. That's kind of, I think, counterintuitive to what a lot of us might think. Why is that?
Yeah, I think that is certainly a thing. I think that as we have researched animal handling, researched how animals behave and move, we've really found out that less people is more impactful. And you know, a lot of it has to do with distractions, right? If there's too many people and too many people talking, it's pretty distracting for an animal. But the people that have been around the animal a lot is probably one of the most important things. And even when you're unloading at the county fair or at this event, you certainly want the people that animal's been around to really lead them or take them into the area and space that they are.
So now we're at the fair and there's a lot going on. What's the best thing we can do as exhibitors or people who brought those animals to keep them calm?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to unloading, again, I always try and encourage people to unload at the fair when there's just not a lot of traffic, right? Not a lot of spectators. I mean, all animals are unpredictable, but most of our youth projects are super, you know, tame. They've been worked with every day. You know, they get such good care. They're basically pampered. So for the most part, they come in being ready and understanding, you know, the assignment. There certainly are animals that maybe just right. They have a personality that they are just nervous and scared, just like people. Some of us are more anxious than others, and that applies as well to animals. So just knowing your animal, knowing how they think and operate can really help you kind of minimize any of those challenges. And certainly understanding animal behavior, I think, you know, there's a lot of research that Temple Grandin has done related to animals and where their eyes are, where their ears are, in agitation, and you can kind of prepare yourself if this animal is, you think is doing okay or might need an extra hand on the halter. So I think those are all good, you know, minimizing young kids around, minimizing, you know, noise making machines when you're around there, making sure when you do unload them that they get, that they have good bedding. You know, if it's going to be hot, make sure, you know, there's shavings or some sort of way to keep cool bedding available to them. Make sure they get a good drink of water once you get there. And then, yeah, for some of the ruminants, giving them a little taste of their grain or hay just to kind of calm them down and get them settled into the fair is only going to help and get them comfortable. And once they eat a little bit, then they lay down and rest. And that's really, really what you want them to do.
So when we are around livestock, we know that there is a flight zone and an appropriate place that you should approach an animal. Can you just go ahead and give us an overview of what a flight zone means and what that looks like?
Flight zones are really, it means that you're in an area of the animal's comfort zone, right? Or you're in their bubble, and it could make them uncomfortable.
It's not an uncommon experience for exhibitors to be approached by spectators at these events wanting to interact with their animals. What's the best way for an exhibitor to communicate with that spectator or consumer, the best way to approach their animal or deal with that flight zone?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it is pretty hard, especially on large animals like the beef cattle. You know, there's a lot of kids that want to come up and pet them. And certainly young people can still, if they're uncomfortable with that interaction, just, you know, really communicating like, you know, I really appreciate you asking, but he's, you know, just kind of nervous being here at the fair. It's a new environment, and I'd feel more comfortable if you didn't pet my animal. So something like that, fairgoers will understand.
Approaching livestock at our county fairs is much like approaching a dog you don't know. Always best to ask permission before you do so. That's Extension Youth Specialist Bernie O'Rourke along with us. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
That's what I was seeing. A lot of tree damage. I did catch one picture of this huge oak tree down in a building. Not a good sign.
No, and I know that one of the fire department roofs or public utility roofs in Gillett, where the county fair is, all torn to shreds. So that storm that came through yesterday had all the feel to it at this time yesterday morning that it was going to pack a punch. Weather-wise, Tim from McFarland, 1.5 as far as his rain gauge. Then everything else tapers off quite a bit. Linda in Reeseville, 0.7, a quarter of an inch in Union Grove. What else do you see out there notable?
Well, the big ones were Park Falls at 1.25 inches. And then we look down to Eau Claire at 1.67 inches and Wausau at 2.35 inches. I saw Green Bay weighing in with about 0.8 inches and a whole lot lighter over here in the Fond du Lac area, 0.1 inch or so. But now this activity is giving us a little break right now, but the cool front still dropping into Wisconsin, still lining up from, the far northeast part of the state up near the UP border, if you will, and back towards southeast Minnesota. There is some rain in the UP, a little scattered shower, Rhinelander down to Wausau, and then over into far southwest Wisconsin, down into Iowa. Through the day today, that cool front will drop southeastward. Well, there could be a little rain chance this morning in the northwest. Later in the day, it clears out. The further you head south and southeast, the more likely it is we see some rain yet a bit later today, afternoon or on toward evening. Could be a couple of 0.1 inches in about the southeastern third of Wisconsin or so, yet late today or into the night. That system clears out. The frontal boundary itself just becomes a little stationary to our south. I expect it to return as a warm front, and that's why late Friday or into Saturday, showers and, again, a few thunderstorms could develop. Southern Wisconsin may be in the headlights for a little more rain there, a half to three-quarters of an inch or a little more through Saturday, and still some heat with that system, and then it does warm up starting into next week, Pam, as well. All of our forecast details right after this.
Bavaria sausage is so much more than just a award-winning brats. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke can attest to it. They've got all kinds of fantastic food, both online and in their store location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Did you know that if you stop by Bavaria Sausage, you can pick up not only those award-winning brats for your grill, but also restaurant-quality cooking essentials like burgers, chicken, pork chops, and steak. They want your event to be fabulous, and they've got it all ready to go. As always, you can check out their website, BavariaSausage.com. Have goods delivered directly to you, or if you're in the area, stop on by. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. And don't forget, every Friday, rain or shine, they've got their fabulous brat fry. Follow them on Facebook to know exactly what flavor they're serving up. Bavaria Sausage. Yeah, and I see Outagamie County's got about 500 folks without power. Not what you want when EAA is in town, huh, Stu?
No, or when it's going to still be a hot day. You'd much rather have air conditioning.
Yeah, no kidding. And it is going to be a hot day.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot day. Maybe not quite so hot in the far northwest where some sun breaks through later today. Otherwise, cloudy skies, and there's still some chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm, especially in, to call it, the southeastern almost half of the state. And there could be a 0.1 inch or two of rain. A lot of low and mid-80s today. Could be a lot warmer in the far southeast. Southwest winds still blowing in many places, 5 to 10. They become west later today. A small chance of rain in the south this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, more clear north. Upper 60s and low 70s with a west breeze. Partly sunny Friday. That warm front edging in. A slight rain chance late in the day in the south. Temps still up into the low and mid 80s. And Saturday, a little more likely. Partly sunny. Showers, could be thunderstorms. I'd expect, Pam, rain amounts that, especially in southern Wisconsin, push up to a half inch or more. Not so much in the north, but will still be in the low to mid 80s. And there's more heat Sunday and Monday, warming up back up around 90 or more.
I see on social media it did not. The heat did not deter Packer fans from getting to training camp yesterday, or the Packers from riding the bicycles around. That all looked like it was on track regardless of the weather.
Well, you got to do that. Come on, that's important.
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow for a weekend forecast. Have a good one.
All right. See you later.
Stay Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with weather details you're looking for here on the Midwest Farm Report. Talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. Let me hear you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Pam Youngke appearance on John and Gordon.
How about breakfast on the farm?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
First of all, thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to everybody that showed up. They were guessing north of 5,000 people that were there starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Got a chance to have a pancake. I looked down to eat my pancake. I looked back up, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of humanity waiting to stream into the machine shed for breakfast. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the cows. The cows are the big attraction. Everybody wants to see them and kind of get a little perspective on how big they are.
Yeah.
But it was also cute to see they had three barn kitties, and kids could line up to hold the barn kitties.
Oh.
Now, I mean, babies of any kind are cute. Yeah. But when you put barn kitties with little kids, it was just, if you want to see the pictures, I've got some up at Midwest Farm Report and Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. But it was really well done. Third time that the Hinchleys had hosted it. So again, like we said, really, really well done for sure.
All right.
That's excellent. You know, Cambridge is quite a nice little town.
It is.
Been through there a number of times.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about the artisan butter last week.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about the food and beverage innovation camp that's going on. Kekoman is putting this in.
Well, they're part of it. So I didn't know that this was going on. If you live or have drive through the Jefferson area. So what they're calling this is a food and beverage innovation campus. And what they're doing, Jefferson County, I don't know if you're aware, is home to quite a few different food companies. Nestle Food is down there. There's a lot of different food-related companies.
Jones,
and now they've decided to try to bring them all together in this food and beverage innovation campus.
Mm-hmm.
Kekoman is the first to financially commit to building their factory there, and that's already underway. According to the economic development people that are connected with it, they said they've already invested about $563 million to create this welcoming area. And one of the reasons why Jefferson is so well-suited for this is the workforce. That's something that Jefferson touted for a long time, and they want to continue to bank on that. So this looks like it is very well-supported, not only in Jefferson County as far as public monies, but also as far as the agribusinesses and food companies that are interested in coming there. The next phase, after they get started with the actual brick-and-mortar of the food manufacturing side of things, we'll be focusing in on creating the residential element for all the employees that these companies are going to be needing. They said they know that they're out there, but they want to make sure they're close to where they're going to have to work. So that'll be the next phase.
That's great.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The next step for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field. This will be head coach Matt LaFleur's seventh training camp in Green Bay.
And although they've been to the playoffs nearly every year, I asked him, has he thought about what else is there left to do to get to the next step, a Super Bowl?
That's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Baseball, Brewers with a 10-2 win over the Mariners. The crew has now won 10 games in a row whenever they've had pitcher Quinn Priester on the mound.
You know, I attribute a lot of his success to the pace. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets it and goes, gets it and goes, gets it and goes. Doesn't give you a lot of time. There's not a lot of trepidation. There seems like there's a lot of conviction. Ball sinking, and then he's got a little cutter. He's got a little curveball, a little slider, and he's attacking.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org.
Scattered thunderstorms are possible today with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to an interview with Clean Wisconsin's Amy Berrio. She discusses how the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on a legislative committee's power could affect drinking water in rural communities.
So PFAS are a group of chemicals that are used on everyday products like nonstick cookware. They have tons of uses. They are found everywhere. And some of these are extremely toxic. They've been found to be toxic at very low levels in the parts per trillion. So there are starting to be drinking water standards and water standards for PFAS. PFAS are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. So for municipalities, they are following the current Safe Drinking Water Act standards. But if you live in a community like Peshtigo or Marinette or French Camp or some of these other ones in rural Wisconsin that have experienced extremely high levels of PFAS in their drinking water, they are getting their drinking water from private wells. Those are not governed by the Safe Drinking Water Act. In Wisconsin, groundwater standards, so basically they get their drinking water from the aquifer, it's considered groundwater. Those are the standards that will help folks who are dealing with huge amounts of PFAS contamination in their groundwater, in their drinking water wells. And we don't have groundwater standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The DNR pursued a groundwater standard. Time ran out on that, and now they're planning to pursue it again. Again, you know, the DNR up until today is thinking, how are we going to get this groundwater standard around these handful of folks at JCRAR? Now that the Supreme Court has made that ruling, we are incredibly hopeful that there will be a standard that gets through finally the rulemaking process. It's still going to take a long time because, again, they have to start all over with this process. It's a meaningful standard, some that are actually at levels that will protect people. Now, with respect to PFAS as a topic, as something that we need to get a hold of in this state and in this country, it is incredibly complex because you have PFAS that are in biosolids that are spread on farm fields. You have PFAS in almost every piece of furniture around us, continually made in consumer products. And the reason why they have the nickname forever chemicals is because they don't break down in the environment. So that means they only have a few places to go: in our air, in our water, and in our soil. So these rules are incredibly important to start to at least take care of the urgent problem, like the people in Peshtigo and Marinette and other communities all across the state are facing. But taking care of the fire isn't the same as taking care of the problem. And we've got an enormous problem on our hands with PFAS. It's going to take far beyond any rulemaking to address, considering how pervasive these chemicals are and how harmful they can be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Championship game when Wisconsin beat Michigan State 42-39.
Yeah, no two ways about it. This weather makes it difficult to get big crowds at our county fairs. But I'll tell you what, county fairs are going to continue into the month of September. Stephanie Hoff joining us this morning with a quick update from the Wisconsin Fair Association on how things are going so far in 2025. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 24th day of July. Did you know on this day back in 1995, then Governor Tommy Thompson started a statewide Harley ride. What was he doing? He was promoting the new Brewers ballpark. And at the final leg of the trip, he was joined by Brewers legend Robin Yount. Governor Tommy Thompson jumping on his Harley hog on this day back in 1995 to promote the Brewers' new ballpark. Happy birthday today to power hitter Barry Bonds. He turned 61. Jennifer Lopez celebrating her 56th birthday today. And now you know. Well, we don't know how attendance figures are going to end up for county fairs around the state. Some severe weather has kind of taken the enthusiasm out of our crowds, but we're hoping it rebuilds. Stephanie Hoff has more.
We're in the midst of county fair season in Wisconsin. This is the time for communities to come together and celebrate agriculture, tradition, and of course, fun. But it's not without its challenges. Fair organizers and exhibitors are always keeping an eye on the sky. Thunderstorms, tornado warnings, and extreme heat can turn months of planning on its head. Today, we're getting a county fair update from Jamie Buckey, the executive director for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs, who gets to enjoy nearly a dozen of the 75 fairs during the summer. Jamie tells us what she's been hearing from the grounds so far this season about attendance, rain or shine.
So we're only a month into it, so it's kind of early because they really don't have to turn a lot of their fair reports in until 30 days after their fair is done. So a little early. I know this week we've had some storms that came through that early in the week we had a lot of fairs that had to deal with torrential weather, but I think they're prepared for that as well. But I think the one thing our fairs are trying to do even more than they've done in the past is the ag education, which may sound silly, but an ag adventure tent where people can get hands-on and learn about agriculture without realizing they're being taught something. I think our fairs are getting more in-depth with those exhibits. Not that you can't go see the kid showing the animal in the barn and ask the question. That's still an awesome way to do it. But I think they're just getting more creative in these other exhibits because people are further and further removed from the farms, and you're not only educating the child, you're educating the family that's coming with it. So I think they're doing a really great job at that.
When you say fairs are prepared for bad weather, how does a fair prepare for that type of blow to attendance and also income?
So there's a couple different things and things that we, you know, teach them at our convention and when we do our district meetings in the spring and the fall. We might talk about insurance, whether it's weather insurance, and you learn over the years different ways that you can play with the weather insurance, and you're going to spend this much money on something. Is it of your value to insure it or not? So those are some of the things. You know, a lot of them work really well with their county government in, you know, what that evacuation plan will look like, so they take their time to do that. But the one thing I think we're really great is we are a family of fairs that share information. So if I have a blueprint for what works good on a potential weather, or we're going to have to shut something down, we have emergency procedures, our fairs share the blueprints that they have, and we're like, this worked at ours, or this didn't work. And we talk about when those things happen to be like, I wish our fair would have thought to do this or to do that, right? So I think because we're always networking and sharing those ideas, they just get better and better at the planning process.
I've also noticed a lot of fairs turning to community entertainment, community competitions with demo derbies and tractor pulls. Have you seen more of that this year so far?
Sure, and there's a lot of fairs that will have local bands compete, and they might be like a battle of the bands from within their county. I think as prices increase for so many other things, they have to look to the community to say, what can we do that it's not a lot of travel and expense to get somewhere in there to do it? And I think they're being pleasantly surprised by the amount of entertainment that is there that they can utilize. They might be having cooking contests or, you know, like a pie contest or whatever. How exciting is it to bring home like the blue ribbon pie at your fair and that type of stuff? So they really are embracing it, and I think it's been seen. It's been your service clubs benefit from it, right? Because if your service clubs are working your fairs and they might be working the food stand or whatever, they're putting that money right back into the community. So it's just a full circle of community support.
Jamie, anything else you want to leave us with about Wisconsin's fair season before I let you go?
We are only a month in. There are 75 state-aided fairs in Wisconsin, so you have till about the end of September to go find one. You can visit us at wifairs.com. We have a whole list, a list of entertainment and all of our fairs by date. So find the one that fits your best needs for your family and go out and visit a fair.
Jamie Butke along with us. She's the executive director for the Wisconsin Association of Fairs, talking trends in entertainment and also giving an update on how fairs are handling this wild Wisconsin weather. Find a complete Wisconsin fair schedule at wifairs.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
We're less than 2 weeks away from Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, heading back to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For the third time, they're hosting Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. One of the smiling faces you'll see when you get to the grounds, Don Zitlow. He is coordinating field demonstrations. Zitlow tells us it feels like homecoming to him.
Well, back in 1978, the year I graduated high school, our ag class and FFA members got to come down and actually drive the demo equipment. So I spent 3 days on a tractor and a plow down here, and I do some work for Tom Clinton, and I happened to be here doing some welding for him, and they were talking about it, and they said, "Boy, do I have a job for you." At this point, it's going to be hay, try to get it set up. So we're doing cutting, merging, harvesting all 3 days.
That a boy, Don Zitlow, one of the volunteers coordinating field demonstration. Just one of the elements that you can look forward to. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. If you need directions, want to buy tickets in advance, wifarmtechnologydays.com. All right, I'm talking with Ryan Yonkman from EverAg in just a moment here. Lot of whirlwind business yesterday on trade discussions. Japan opening up its markets to more U.S. beef and pork. Japan's our number two market when it comes to that access. Another big one, Australia, for the first time in 20 years, allowing U.S. beef to enter that marketplace. And if you stop and think about the amount of beef that Australia sold to the United States over the past 20 years' time, it amounts to more than $28 billion worth of Australian beef that came into the United States, but no U.S. beef allowed into Australia. So that could be pivotal. And then Indonesia, another market that Wisconsin agriculture has been looking at. Indonesia is the seventh largest export market for U.S. dairy. They bought about $245 million worth of dairy products last year alone, and now they're working on a deal to try to make sure that they eliminate trade tariffs on 99% of U.S. products, including dairy, and have commitments to address any barriers to other U.S. food and agricultural goods. So I'm going to talk about that with Ryan and see if it's giving us a lift up in the marketplace today. Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning, right now anyhow, down more than 100 points. Currently, our September corn is up 3, December new crop up 2.5 at 420. Soybeans for August are up 3, November new crop up 4 at 1027. The wheat for September is up 3 at 544, December's up 3 at 564. No change again yesterday on barrel or block cheese. AA butter dropped 5.75 cents to 2.42. August class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 7.17 a bushel. A hundredweight, I should say. Up next, like I said, Ryan Yonkman from EverAg joining us live to give us everything that's influencing dairy trade. Stand by for that. It's up next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Experience northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 annoying teens.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisisretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Our cheese market has remained very, very flat. Butter market has been receding. Ryan, I've got to believe that that's a sign either of plenty of supply or lack of a lot of consumer demand. What's happening out there?
Yeah, you know, I would say up until a couple days ago, milk report, the focus was much more on U.S. demand, which we know still has just not been that great. We're used to kind of that 2% growth, and we're a lot closer to unched. When we look at the U.S. consumer, the flip side of that is we know our exports have been good. I think it's a huge reason cheese has been able to maintain a low, let's say, of in the 160s. But this past Tuesday, we learned something, and it turns out the U.S. producer has started to really turn the spigot on, and we had U.S. milk production up, I believe it was 3.3%, which was really well above anybody's expectations. We were at 2.5, and we thought we were pushing for a big number. So now I think the industry is kind of wrapping their mind around, like, hey, U.S. demand still relatively flat. U.S. milk production, it's coming. Some of it is because of low comparables in avian, but the reality is the herd is the biggest it's been, I think, in about 30 years. And so that is definitely a watch point in changing a bit of the equation as we walk forward and start thinking about 2026 even.
Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg, joining us on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you about their website. If you want to find Ryan or any of the team, and they are deep on the bench, ever.ag. You know, that begs the question then, Ryan, about some of the international movement of our product. I mean, I get it that we can stay in a sweet spot on our cheese price to try to keep things moving. I had asked you off air whether any of these international trade deals that are being talked about by a lot of agriculture circles hold any hope. Do you see anything? Is there anything on the national scope that might help to drive some of these sales? Because I'm surprised we're holding back dairy cattle when beef is still very, very robust.
Yeah, you know, we were reading yesterday about the deal with Japan. I've not been able to get into the minute details yet of what it means for dairy. There was speak of agriculture. I guess the reality, if we're not getting in a fight with some of these close trading partners, that's positive news on its own. The last thing we needed is retaliatory tariffs where we're struggling to move product to places like Japan and South Korea and Mexico, where they're some of our biggest trading partners. So we're going to call it a positive. Don't know to what detail. What we do know is the importance of exports are massive. The more we make here domestically, the more pressure it's going to put on us to have to move this product globally, especially when our U.S. demand continues to look as flat as it does in some of our categories like commodity cheese.
You know, I'm curious also about even domestic seeing some changes that are afoot. Earlier this week, Robert Kennedy announcing that the dairy industry, one of the first to kind of come along with him and his MAHA group on dyes in ice cream. Is there anything out there? I'm always a little anxious whenever Robert Kennedy joins U.S. Secretary Brooke Rollins for a press conference, but that one had some favorable results. You hearing anything else out there as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, there was an article published here recently, and I know it's been in talk for some time, on the U.S. dietary guidelines and them looking to ramp up dairy's involvement in that. And there's a chance and some conversation around, you know, getting whole milk back in schools. And those could be good things. Those could be very positive things, especially when you start talking about the distribution, you know, of the United States school systems. If we can get skim out and whole milk in, those are some interesting things that could move the needle. So we're very curious to see how that plays as we walk forward.
Any idea how this heat is going to be impacting milk production? You just said that it blew the doors off as far as June milk production was concerned. What are you thinking? Is this heat going to rein it in a bit?
You know, we're definitely going to get here hard in the Midwest. But what's interesting is we had a stretch like this in June. And a lot of Midwest dairies were off 10 to 20 pounds. I had some dairymen thinking this last report would be bullish, but the reality is the West Coast has been perfect. It's in the 80s this week in California. We're hotter than they are. So not to say we won't get hit again by this heat, because we're going to. I think the U.S. as a whole, though, has masked this, and that the West Coast has just been so darn perfect with their weather, and we've heard about plenty of milk out that way, California very much included in that.
And you say that they're still building, that the milk production's still coming on. So have dairymen just decided to not engage in the beef activity anymore? I mean, that dynamic had kind of kept us back on our heels with milk production, selling beef.
Yeah, no, I mean, the reality is everyone is still, for the most part, breeding unneeded replacement back to this beef market. You know, hey, look, that thing set new all-time highs again yesterday. We're still talking $1,200, $1,300+ calves. That said, when you look at the equation and you look at the run the U.S. dairyman has had, where we're staring down the barrel of $4 corn and these record high beef prices, and the milk price is okay. It's not great, but it's fine. You look at that equation, it's telling us to make more milk. That equation says to go do so. We've had a bunch of new plants built in the United States that say they need the milk, which is true. And so that old adage, if you build it, they will come, it's happening.
Perfect way to end the conversation. Ryan Yonkman joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. He is one of the vice presidents of EverAg. And if you want to see all of their team and all the service they can provide you, not just dairy, but the food industry, take a look at ever.ag. Wonderful to have him along with us on a Thursday morning. All right, we'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Same time, same channel.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tweaking plant genes to boost oil production. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Arabidopsis is a simple plant known mainly for helping scientists understand and explore plant biology, but a recently published paper suggests it could become quite useful for biofuels production. Plant biochemist Jay Thielen of the University of Missouri is one of the co-authors. He says gene modifications in the plant produce not only more oil, but also more protein.
What we ultimately want to do is kind of train it, engineer it to produce even more oil, as well as specialty types of oils that would be compatible, for instance, with sustainable aviation fuel.
Thielen says there's still more work to do, as the modification also caused the plants to break the oils down faster. One desirable trait is the plants mature quickly, he adds.
You have to figure out how to continue to produce more vegetable oils, but do it with the same amount of land. Cover crops are going to be part of the solution, and that we can get multiple rounds of crops in a single year.
Thielen says the project is a good example of how ag research can help solve problems beyond just the ag sector.
It feels like basic science is a bit under attack these days, and I guess I would just like to remind your listeners that basic science is critical to our economic growth and our infrastructure.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI. Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
A woman is a mystery. A man just can't understand. Sometimes all it takes to please her is a touch of your hand. And other times you gotta take it slow and hold her all night long. Heaven knows there's so many ways a man